side are just silhouettes. The bright sun behind you, okay? You could probably, well, I would imagine if you stuck your tongue out. Zach, stick your tongue out. Yeah, see, I can't even see that. If I don't look over here a lot, that might be why. Now, you begin to come into focus. And Philippians, if you will, please. Philippians, if you have your Bible, chapter 3. How many of you are like Noah? Bargaining with God.
Oh, yeah.
That's good.
Okay? Bargaining with God. If you do this, God, then I'll do that. God does that. And you didn't really mean I'll do that. Because when he says it, then you begin to wonder, is it just my emotions? Is it my thoughts? You can bargain with God. He's going to win. Okay? He's not going to change his mind on something.
Amen.
So you need to go with just what the Holy Spirit tells you right from the beginning. It's the best way to go. But it is not always an easy way. It is a struggle.
Yep.
Now, when I talk about bargaining with God, that could apply to an unsaved person. That could apply in the area of the need for salvation. But I'm thinking of it for the Christians.
Yes, sir. Right.
Who are bargaining with God regarding what he wants them to do.
Right.
Whether it's to teach a Sunday school class in the local church, or what we might think of as the other end of the spectrum, and that is to yield your life to full-time service.
That's good.
Anything between, all right? Bargaining with God. Now, Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss. That's something that we need to remember. There are some things that you may lose in serving Christ. Now, I could take the approach that you won't lose anything because what God gives you is going to be so much more satisfying, so much more valuable. But you only have that viewpoint after you've yielded yourself. Before you yield yourself, you're thinking, boy, what am I going to lose? Anderson said he's going to be a businessman. And he apparently was a successful businessman. Nothing wrong with being a businessman. Unless God wants you to be something else. And you know, we say, if God wants you to be something else, oh, now go on, get out of here, will you? He'll be back. He's used to people. He's used to be chasing. But you see, the thing is, you may be thinking to yourself, well, if I let the Lord take control of my life, then I want to be a carpenter. I like working with wood. But if God wants you to be an auto mechanic, then that's what you ought to be.
That's right.
All right. You see? It's important to follow the will of God for your life. So frequently we talk about yielding ourselves to the will of God and doing what God wants. And because we're good Christians, and I say that seriously, because we're good Christians, we focus our thoughts in the direction of ministry.
Right. Right.
Now, listen, God needs many more workers than what he has.
Yeah, right.
He needs many more pastors. He needs many more educators. He needs many more missionaries. Okay? He needs youth pastors.
Sure.
Hey, God needs more of that. And I believe God's touching more hearts than what we're seeing being yielded. But, bulletin, there are going to be more non Christian vocational people.
Amen.
Brother John, Pastor John, I don't call him Pastor John. No, Pastor Asquith.
That's right.
Okay? He wouldn't have a church.
That's right.
And everybody in the church became a missionary.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Now, the fact of the matter is, not everybody in any given congregation is going to become a pastor or a missionary or a pastor or whatever.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Now, that's what God wants you to be. Go ahead and be that.
Right.
Because that's what you've got to be. But while you're figuring that one out, why don't you just be the kind of Christian God wants you to be?
Amen.
Amen. What kind is that? Oh, you mean I gotta go to church? And I know a lot of you already do this. I gotta go to church Sunday school, then I gotta go to morning church, and then I gotta go to afternoon or evening church, and then probably Wednesday night. And then when they throw in a week of revival or vacation Bible school, I gotta go to all of that. Yeah.
That's right.
Like I said, you will probably already do that. And so that's a good thing. But listen, he tells us here, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss. Why? Because that impresses people? No. Look at it there. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord.
Amen.
If we're going to have the excellent knowledge of Jesus Christ, of Christian living, of serving God, we are going to have to be willing to let go of whatever it is we're holding on.
Yep.
He goes on and he says, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. There is some suffering.
Right.
Now, I don't say that as emphatically as I've said some other things thus far today. Because we are so blessed in these United States of America.
Right. Yes, sir.
And earlier down at the other pavilion, Brother Dale, I commented on his tie, and he said before he got saved, he wasn't very patriotic. But since he got saved, God's put on his heart and mind the fact that he could have been born and in another country where you may be suffering for Christ. You know, I don't. It's hard for me to use that word "suffer" about us in the United States.
Yes, sir.
Right. That's right, sir.
Yeah. You said that right.
Yes, we are so blessed in this country. Even the one who has the least has so much more than what people in other countries have. And so the loss here, I am seeing as an internal thing.
That's right.
I'm seeing as the giving up of our dreams, our goals, the things that we just would like to accomplish in life. And they don't have to be bad things.
Right.
Mark that down. When you sacrifice for Jesus Christ, you know, and say, well, I don't gamble. I don't play lottery. I don't drink. I don't do dope. I don't do any of them things. Well, that's good. But when we talk about giving up for Christ, it may be something that's good.
Right.
But when it comes before God, it just became bad.
Yes, right.
Bad in your life.
Right.
Bad in the way of God's will for your life.
Right.
Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ.
Hey.
Win Christ. He's talking here to Christians. What do they need to win Christ for? They already have Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. But he's talking about winning Christ. One thing to be saved, and it's another thing to be yielded to him and dedicated to him. He says here in verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith. Talking to Christians. And the fact that we have got to be yielded to him, so that when he looks at us, he's not seeing our goodness. You know, in Isaiah it says, all our righteousness is as filthy rags. And we think about that rightly in the sense of our righteousness to try to earn salvation. And that's filthy rags, worthless. But you know, our righteousness can even involve us as Christians. Our righteousness. Mine. What I do. The righteousness of Jesus Christ lived in me and through me. What he produces by way of righteousness in me. That's what will bring him honor and glory. I feel so good. Look at me. I'm dressed just the way I ought to be. I wonder, how do you dress when you go to a pavilion for a service? So I thought, well, you know, I don't need one of my white shirts or even one of my blue dress shirts. I think this green one will work. Should I wear a tie or not? Well, I'm a pastor. Maybe I ought to wear a tie. I'm preaching today. Maybe I ought to wear a tie. Okay? And so I try to dress right. I try to just talk right and act right and just do everything the right way. And let me tell you this, that's better than trying to do things the wrong way.
That's right.
Okay. that's better than trying to do things the wrong way. But when I'm trying to use that as an illustration of maybe my righteousness.
Yes.
And he tells us that it's the righteousness of him in us, that I may be found in him, not having... Paul's talking. He's a Christian man.
That's right.
And he says, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Christ living in you. Christ directing you. Now, when you're in your home and you're trying to live with the righteousness which is of God by faith, your feet are going to touch the floor when you walk.
That's right.
You're not going to just sort of float along because the righteousness of Jesus is happening. When you mix up, oh, my wife, we got a granddaughter from Georgia who's coming. Well, they're there now. And they're coming. And so my wife got up this morning, made a batch of chocolate chip cookies to serve them for dessert. And you know, when she worked about the kitchen, she looked just like, and you go next door to our unsaved neighbor, and you know, either one of them working in the kitchen, they look the same. Okay? It isn't that, you know, my wife had a holy glow about her head, you know, like a halo kind of effect. Now, that happens when I work around the house. You look like, you function like any other person. But Jesus Christ is in you. And so the thoughts we have, the feelings that we have, okay, all of this needs to be under the control of Jesus Christ. And you say, well, how do I get that control of Jesus Christ? Well, the Bible says here, and I got to get over some more light here. Fired! Verse 10, you've heard this verse. That I may know him.
Hey.
He was already saved. But what he's wanting to know is Jesus Christ, not just as Savior, but as Lord of his life. Not just someone that will meet all of his material needs. You know, we're not in this thing of salvation just to get us to heaven. We're not in this thing of salvation just to be able to pray and getting to meet our material needs. He'll do both of those things. He'll take us to heaven and he'll meet our material needs. But the purpose of us as Christians is that through us, he may be glorified.
Yes. Right.
That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Conformable to his death. That we would live like him. How did Christ live? He lived sacrificially.
Yes.
Jesus Christ, when he did something, it was for others. And in the process of him, he was a man. That meant he had to eat.
Right.
That meant he needed to drink. He was raised by Joseph, and he was a carpenter. Is not this the carpenter from Nazareth, Joseph's son? Yeah. He did normal work. The Apostle Paul was a tent maker.